I'm Joe Hanson, I'm from Zoning Corner.
Katie, I'm from Hyde Park.
Craig Reed, you're in.
I'm Jeff Richman.
Ned Semper, Lewiston.
Brian Myers, Mendon.
Jeff Ricks, Unincorporated.
Kevin Tingey, Wellsville.
Gregory Shannon, Neblig.
Dave Coons, Providence.
Herman Price, Millville.
Dave Lumen.
Thank you.
Paul Zane, Tyler.
Matt Regan, Hyde Park. And the accountant.
Yeah, there you go. Richard Rigby, manager, and I just wanna put on record that it's good to see Kevin Tingey from Wellsville. It's been over a year, so.
Not been over a year.
I've never met you when I've been here a year. Sierra Bradley Clerk.
Okay, welcome everybody. First item on the agenda is to adopt the agenda.
Paul James, I move we adopt the agenda.
Gregory Shannon, all second.
Motion second, any discussion or questions? Seeing none, those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion passes. Review and approve minutes from August 22nd, 2024 meeting.
Paul James, I move we approve the minutes as read.
Do I hear a second?
Tom Schaefer, second.
Motion second, is there any discussion, questions? Seeing none, those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion passes. Matt, do you wanna take a few minutes at this time?
Sure.
Yeah.
Are we okay doing that with the?
Yeah, that'd be fine.
Perfect, well, it's good to be with everyone here. Let me pass out a few of these financial statements, and there's also some, what is called an agreed upon procedures report. So that's in the back. So hopefully I have enough for everyone. I'll just stand up so everyone can hear me. Good to see you again. Probably been about a year since I've been here too, so.
Actually, you said, you know, buddy.
Oh, yeah, oh, that's right, yeah.
Oh, really?
Had to come. My son's playing football over at Green Canyon against Mountain Crest right now, so I don't wanna be too long tonight.
That's fair.
They're winning. We're winning, yeah.
Who is Mountain Crest?
I just wanted to give everyone a chance to look at the financial statements for 2023 if you haven't already. And I'm happy to review some of the changes in your finances for 2023. And then the last few pages, I have a report on compliance for the Mosquito Abatement District. And just like in years past, you guys do great with the compliance. Everyone's doing a great job of keeping the state happy. We haven't seen any letters from the state recently, have we? Good, okay. We want the state to just stay out of what we do, right? Okay, so for the financial statements, if you want to go to page 7, what I like to see is how much do we have in the bank, who owes us, who do we owe? And what equity do we have? So on page 7, we can actually see all that. You can see how much cash we had at the end of the year. So a pretty significant cash balance. There were still some property taxes due to the Mosquito Abatement District, and most of those came in the springtime. And then you can see land and property. You guys have that great building out in Hyde Park. And then in the liability section, this obligations under capital leases. So that's the loan, if you want to call it that, with Zions Bank. So it's actually structured as a lease. Certain leases get reported on the balance sheet, and this is one of them. So, but that's what the balance was. And the net position is the equity that you have. So, you know, between the equity you have that you have in the building and the cash, you have quite a bit of equity. So. And this, these numbers don't reflect the market value of the building. It reflects the cost of the building. So the market value is probably even higher. Can't imagine you'd want to sell it, but if you did, probably made some money on it because construction costs are higher and generally real estate values are higher. So that's the balance sheet. Let's flip and see how you did on your budget. So that's page 23. So the budget, you set an amount that you anticipate receiving as revenue, property tax revenue, and then you also budget for your expenses. And you budgeted to collect about $400,000, and you collected about $425,000. So your revenues were a little higher than you budgeted. And then you budgeted to spend $476,000, and you spent $473,000. So it looks like someone was watching your expenses really close, to be that close. But you spent less than you budgeted, and so I think that's great. So you operated within your budget for another year. You guys always do that. Most of you, with your city governments you're involved with, there's more financial statements. But, the Mosquito Abatement District is relatively simple. So those are the only financial statements that I was going to go over. And Sierra can give you more details on your operating expenses if you want. So we can, we've only got two rows of expenses here. The last few pages, I've got a report. It lists some procedures that the state auditor's office wants me to do every year. And you guys hire me to do it, but this is a report that's required. And they basically want to make sure you operate within your budget. They want to make sure you have minutes to your meetings that are public record after they're approved.
Your time's up.
Okay. Okay, I'll finish up. In the last few pages, you can see what the compliance areas are. And in the right column, after doing my testing, you can see that for most of them, it says, I noted no exceptions as a result of these procedures. You just don't want to have any exceptions. There's a few areas that aren't applicable, but you actually didn't have any exceptions. So great job for another year. So I just wanted to see if anyone had any questions. We will submit these to the state, and the state will be really happy for another year, and you'll be in good shape. So anything else you wanted me to cover?
I only have one question, and not on this.
Sure.
But did Sierra send you a letter we got?
Yeah.
Did you check on that?
I called Lyons. It's definitely got to be a mistake. I went back through the original loan documents, and there's an amortization schedule.
Yeah.
And this notice from Zion says the prior year payment was $60,000, but your payment for this year is $295,000. So it's got to be a mistake.
Wouldn't that finish it off?
Not quite.
I didn't check all of
that. Yeah, yeah.
Because they're like $800,000.
Mm-hmm.
How many years? I can't remember.
I think it was a 20-year
loan. Yeah, 20. And how many? I can't remember how many we have left on it.
Yeah, I think you started in 2020.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So that notice has got to be wrong. I called Zions, and they kind of bounce you around a little bit, but I told them this has got to be wrong. What's that?
Banks don't bounce you around.
We just did our budget. It does no good to do our budget if that's the truth.
Yeah. I'm sure it's a mistake. You can't just, when you agreed to this loan with Zions, it was a contract. They can't just change the terms on you. So I'm sure it was a computer mistake.
Okay.
I'll follow up with it. But I did call Zions today after I got the email from Sierra.
You know Alex?
Do I know Alex? Uh-huh. Yeah.
He's the one that kind of
Okay.
Probably be able to answer. Do you have his number?
I know I've emailed him because he needed some information when he was doing the loan. Yeah, I just called one of their customer service numbers, but maybe I'll just try Alex and say, hey, what's this $295? We thought we'd be paying $60,000. The good news is you have the money. You could do that for a few years if you had to, but I'm sure that amount's wrong.
Yeah.
No? We don't want to do that. Yeah, the interest rate's pretty low.
That's what we were just going over with the budget meeting before this, and with the cost of chemicals and everything. It's
cell phone number if you want it.
Yeah, sure.
You just send it.
Yeah, or you can. I'll just take a picture if you got it there. Yeah, I'm sure it's a mistake. They can't just change that. So I'll get a hold of him and then I'll email you. So. Okay, well, thanks everyone.
Thank you.
Thank you. Just for all you do.
You don't have any other entities that you work with, right?
There's a few. Yeah, all right, well, no other questions, I'm gonna, can I be dismissed?
Yep.
Okay.
Football.
Okay, thanks, Evan.
Thank you.
Okay.
You got this under four different.
Yes. Yes.
You wanna elaborate?
Okay, so part of the tax increase checklist, you have to state each one very specifically, very clearly for the minutes, for the audio, so that's why we had to do the A, B, C, D. So, I was thinking we'll just go through each one really quick, I'll just state each one, and then at the end of D, we can have any discussion we need. Does that work? Okay. So A, the intent to increase. Cash mosquito abatement declares the intent to increase taxes. B, the dollar amount of increase is 100,000. Our purpose for increase. This is what I sent to Diana. So sorry, it's small, but I had to fit it all. So a cash mosquito abatement district's reasons for raising taxes is competitive labor rates make competent workers harder to find at current wages. Chemical prices have continued to increase by an average of 33% in the last 6 years. Velocity of fuel prices, which have seen a 45% increase in the last 5 years. Vehicle and utility vehicle prices are skyrocketing at least 30% over the last 6 years. Chemical usage in neighboring communities limit chemical choices due to chemical resistance. Equipment, as examples, larger drones, new foggers, backpacks, sprayers, etc., cost more to replace. Local population growth will be the biggest issue, leading to the likelihood of requiring spraying 5 nights a week. And then D, approximate percentage increase is 25.37%.
Well, get some heads going.
That'll get them in here.
So.
Go back to that. C.
C.
So the chemical prices have gone up 33% a year for the last?
No, an average.
An average.
All right.
Same thing for the equipment.
Right.
And everything else, okay.
Yeah.
That would make a difference.
We just absorbed about all we can absorb. We, as the last time we raised taxes was 2007.
What is our current rate?
Sure.
I'm not sure.
There's a rate.
I might be able to look. Let me find.
So what you said is being raised 25%. Is that from the current rate we have now? Are we going to 25% or are we raising it?
No, it's 25%. So we're probably a tenth of a meal.
What?
Okay. But it's like
that
a
one?
It's going to sound like.
Yeah,
Iron City
sounds
just went through
it's
it bad.
Not,
yeah,
I mean,
yeah.
It's going for like $12 a house.
We had a 29% increase.
Yeah.
And we've increased $47.
So there's the 25.37.
Yeah, that's for Craig.
There it is right there, the average. Raise it. $3 a house a year.
Yeah.
That's what
when you think of it in dollar amount, it's not that much.
Yeah,
but then you look at the percent.
That's
what most people look at.
They'll advertise it
as
the percentage.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, when we do we present anything to the public, or how does that get out?
So they're going to send out a parcel ad and all of that. I don't know if you'd seen Clarkston's and those other few towns, and then we're going to have a tax increase hearing, and that's where our November meeting
hopefully
is.
We ought to make sure we say the amount along with the percentage.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Per average household.
Yeah.
I think
so. It sounds big, but when you lay it down to an average household, then it's easier for our customers to go, oh, okay, I get that.
And that can off would cost more.
Yes.
Yeah,
that's it.
Right, and that's a good way to put it.
Oh,
that
is.
Well, one can of off per household.
Less than a can.
Yeah.
The last time we had that tax increase, we had one person come in And he started going, and then he goes, "Oh, I'm in the wrong meeting. I was supposed to be at." You remember that guy that came in? So we may or may not, with the volatility of what the everything is right now, we may get more people, but last time it wasn't.
Well, when they see that 25%, it doesn't matter what.
Exactly.
You know, and it's broken down.
But yeah. So.
Bring a can of Raid, set it on the desk, and the cost.
There you
just,
go.
Just leave it there, so let them see it.
You're buying the district one of these cans.
Yeah. Just a little bit more lethal.
Exactly.
Than this stuff.
Okay.
That is all for that one.
That's all we need to cover.
Yes.
Manager's report.
Wholesale strip.
So, a couple of things. The trap numbers have gone down significantly. 2 weeks ago, we counted 900 mosquitoes in the 16 traps. We didn't trap last week because Monday night was the night that we had all that rain and everything, and then it was really cold Tuesday morning. So we trapped this week, and and it's been beautiful weather. And today was a little bit warm, and then this weekend will be warmer, but we only counted 54 mosquitoes in all 16 traps. So we are done trapping. Tonight will be the last night that we will be spraying. So for all intents and purposes, we are done with abatement as of tonight.
None of the those mosquitoes, or have you got reports on it?
No, because we didn't have enough to send down. Now, with the West Nile, if you had a trap that tested positive for West Nile, I let the entities know. So the traps that tested positive this year, and to preface this, the reason why this year was such a bad year is because of the weather. It wasn't because of what we were doing or not doing. When you have a hot and dry summer like we did, where it just creates that a perfect storm, and northern Utah, actually some more than it has other years anyway. And so we got, the first one that tested positive was Hyde Park. Thank you, Dave. And that was the third week of July, which is about 2 weeks earlier than we've ever seen it. And then 2 weeks later, Newton and Lewiston and one other tested positive. And then from there, Petersboro, Mendon, and then it skipped Wellsville, but then went to Hiram. And then, but other than that, we've had Petersboro test twice positive, Benson tested twice, and then Newton, of course, tested four times. I don't know where they're coming from, but they tested four times positive for the West Nile. We have got reports. It hasn't been put into the state veterinarians yet, but he's checking on it because I emailed him. But we have gotten some reports that they did euthanize one horse at the Richmond Clinic in this past week with positive, and that there's been two or three other horses that have tested positive for it. But they're still trying to figure out.
And is that from West Nile or the other?
Yeah, they're from West Nile, from what I understand. And we have one positive case of human neuroinvasive West Nile here in the valley. The health department called me and let me know where it was. Which came out of Cornish, and that's all I know. I don't know if the age.
Yeah.
I don't know the age of the individual or the sex of the individual. We just know that it was a neuroinvasive. So with that, I let with Lewiston testing positive, or Cornish trap never did test positive, but with them testing with the human case there, I did call Franklin County's abatement and let them know, so they were so that we were working together in those areas.
So is the person all right now out of the hospital?
Even Joe doesn't know.
Really?
So they were, and you know, there's FERPA laws, of course, but we had no idea. And in order to get tested for the West Nile, it's got to be a blood draw, because it's a lot of it is a flu-like symptoms, the same as the COVID, whatever, and so it's got to be a blood draw in order to get it. But hopefully with the cooler nighttime weather, not the daytime, but the cooler nighttime weather, we maybe still see some horses and maybe even human cases that come from this.
So is that the tire place out there in Cornish Trenton? Do they have quite a bit of water, or do they...
That guy doesn't let us get near his place, so they have gone.
They don't have no tires.
They don't have any tires either, so that's going to change.
3 years old.
So, yeah.
Oh, really? So they don't sell them there anymore?
Yeah, they haven't sold that for probably 10 or more years.
So is there any cure for West Nile virus? For horses? Or
for horses, there is a vaccine, but you got to give it to them like 2 weeks in advance before they get it.
Okay.
And it's rather expensive, it's an expensive shot, because I've, like the historical farm out in Wellsville, will, if we start seeing it, then that's when he'll start inoculating his horses and everything. But it's, you're playing Russian roulette one way or another.
Yeah.
It can be, usually when horses get it, it is lethal. We did hear one in Utah County years ago that a horse got it, but the only reason it came out of it is because it was a race horse, and so it had the stamina and the kind of like an athlete. That
probably had enough steroids in it.
Yeah, it could have been. That it got really sick, but it did pull out. Usually when a horse gets the West Nile virus, it's lethal.
What about the human?
Human, it just depends. Most people get the flu-like symptoms, and then, or not even some, a lot of symptoms. What happens is it's less than 1% of the 1% that turns into the neuroinvasive, which is like meningitis and that type.
That could be the same for horses too.
Yeah.
There might be hundreds of them out there that have it that don't show
right.
bad symptoms, so they don't.
But that neuroinvasive, those of you who've been here a long, long time, if you remember the guy that he was, he got West Nile virus. He was the vice principal in Preston, and he got it there at the Preston golf course, and he came and spoke to us. It was it'd been nine months, and he said it was the worst thing. He remembers, he said he's in the hospital, and he was laying there, and he was ready just to give up and die, but he heard a baby crying. That's the only thing that had pulled him out of it. But 9 months later, do you remember him, Jeff, coming in and talking with us?
Yeah.
But 9 months later, when he got up, he was still having to hold onto the table and walk with, I don't know, I can't remember if he had a cane or he had somebody with him, I know. But so that neuroinvasive can be rather debilitating, but that was been years ago.
There was somebody in, I think, in Millville. His son worked for us, and he got it, and I think he died, but later, but it completely destroyed his health.
Yeah.
So,
you know, we do what we can. Mostly the reason why we see it later in the season too is because the mosquitoes. It's here probably earlier. We just don't see it until the birds start migrating. And the migration of birds, because the birds are carriers, we're dead end hosts. So a mosquito cannot take our blood or a horse's blood and then transmit it from there. But it can, birds are hosts that they can just continuously. That's why chicken flocks, they're called sentinel chicken flocks. When we first started, which I've never done, but the health department, when we were part of the health department, they had 5 or 6 sentinel flocks around the valley that they would bleed every year, every week, and then test them. And but chickens, it doesn't affect them, but they will carry the virus, and the mosquitoes can bite them and receive it from them. And so birds are such a great carrier. It will affect like bald eagles, hawks, ravens, magpies, those, what's that?
The raptors?
Yes.
Predators. Mm-hmm.
And it will affect them where it will kill them. If you remember a few years ago, the bald eagles that were getting, that were dying out in the Great Salt Lake area in January, that's because they were chewing on carrion, dead birds out there that had the West Nile. They were getting it and it was killing them. So, but yeah, we're a dead end host. They can't just suck our blood and then carry it to somebody else. But if we do get it, it can be something that can cause that. And that's what we're trying to eliminate with that. So I'm glad that cold weather's coming. I don't like the fall because I know that winter's coming. But at the same time, when it comes to this job, it's kind of nice to have it there. The only other thing I have is about 3 weeks ago, we started noticing a leak coming up under the floor. And I was worried that it was
spring
or something was coming up. But come to find out, after a couple of 3 days, we had a leak, one of the elbows, a pinhole leak in an elbow. And what it was doing, the leak was going and hitting a metal stud, and then it was going down the stud, and then finally it traveled down the wall so that it wasn't hitting any drywall and showing any signs of anything like that. But once we found it, there's mold on the bottom and stuff like that because it was hitting insulation coming down and then splattering and it was coming out. So we did have to do a claim. We got $1,000 deductible for the building, which is cheaper than what the cleanup is. And Blue Sky is working on that right now. So that is being taken care of. But other than that,
what is the water system? Is it copper or is it PEX?
It is. I don't think it's. It's. They had that.
It's that. That's where the leak was.
PVC.
Oh, it's PVC. It's CPVC. Okay.
Is that what it is? Yeah. Thanks.
Yeah.
And you get a pinhole in one of those? I've never heard
CPVC. Well, I probably didn't get a good weld.
Joint. Yeah.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, I'm going out of the leaks.
Was it the elbow or was it the
probably cement? That. Where that mark is probably a crack in it.
No, it's if you watch my finger, eventually.
I haven't seen this one.
It's right about
so
there.
It's in the vein itself.
Yeah.
Interesting, because I never heard of one of them doing that.
It was cracked or it had a pinhole.
It was a pinhole.
It was probably.
But it was hitting that stud.
I wonder if I got hit by a screw or something.
That might have been what happened.
But you're not going to go right through that.
But I've never worked with this stuff, but it took a special tool or something when the plumber...
They had to melt it.
Yeah. So you can see that it hit that stud and then was traveling, and then eventually 10 feet,
came
15
out
feet, it came out where, of course, where water...
Yeah, water's just pain.
It is.
Yeah.
So this is what it looked like on the bottom after we found it. So,
but like, even though it sucked, right where the leak was a turnoff. So you were able to turn off the water and still have water to the rest of the building.
It was the turnoff was because this pipe goes to a water bin on the outside.
Oh, okay, so it's your winterization.
Well, it was
isolation valve for that.
Yes.
To repair that valve.
Yeah.
It didn't get frozen though.
No, because it was inside. It's down that hall, right across from the bathrooms.
Yeah, you don't want to deal with frozen house.
On the other side of that, on the other, this is that door that goes out.
You spend a day just
all the
yeah.
You spend a day just
on the other side is the locker room.
Looking for a leak.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Long water.
Looking for another one.
And discussing this leak.
So that's all I have.
Okay. Thank you.
I don't got much. I didn't know if Matt was doing Matt's thing now or whenever, but I don't got anything.
Well, I should get Matt in and out of here because I know
that's fair.
Pretty valuable.
Yeah. So, I don't got much.
Good. review and approve bills.
All right, that is where, as of just before the meeting, was where Zion's was. That's our PTAF. That's where we're standing on our budget remaining. And then bills, we got our usual payroll, maintenance, fuel. There's our lease for the loan that comes out every September. Operation sites, surveillance supplies. This is for those vials that we send down with the mosquitoes. Travel and training was some our conferences, the special districts conference that I'm going to, and the hotel, Comcast. I need to change that. It's now WiFiber. So WiFiber, QuickBooks, Instant Ink, phones. We didn't have anything for vehicles and equipment. And then in order to pay our loan, I have to transfer from our PTAF to our Zions. And then when we get our big check in like April, I transfer it back. So.
So that our loan is a once a year payment.
Yes.
But if that thing's messed up, then we have
we still have a whole year.
A year to deal with.
So what is the payment for a year?
$60,000.
That exact amount.
Right,
yeah.
$60,575.71.
They upped it to
$290,000.
$295,000.
Yeah.
That's what I was asking.
We can pay it off in 5 years. Screw this, 20 years. We'll get it done.
Okay.
Gregory, do you have moving pay bills?
Dave, what's second?
Motion to second. Is there any discussion or questions? Seeing none, those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Is there anything we need to put on the agenda for next month, you know?
When's the public hearing? December?
November. So we have our public, our budget hearing will be at 6, and then right at, we'll close our budget hearing and go right into our tax hearing at 7.
In November.
In November, the third week, November 21st.
Better bring some cards that day, because it sounds like we'll have a lot of time in between.
Yeah.
I had to give what they gave me.
Okay. I'll entertain for a motion to adjourn.
Dave Gather, move to adjourn. Okay. Ron Sheffer, second.
I have a motion to second. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Aye.
Before everybody